Good morning, church. So let's do the most important and my favorite part of worship service. So sharing blessings to one another. Okay? It's time to share blessings to one another. So find three or more people that you really haven't spoken for a while and with a big smile. With a big smile is important. Big smile and said, God loves you and so do I. Please stand as you're able. God loves you and so do I. God loves you and so do I. God loves you, Kevin, so do I. All right. God loves you, and so do I. God loves you, and so do I. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. Okay. Church, Happy New Year. Oh, come on, it's Happy New Year. Yeah, the United Methodist Church, July 1st, is a new fiscal year. So a lot of pastors starting a new appointment in July 1st. So it's a new beginning of New Year. So Happy New Year, everybody. Can you believe it? This is my fifth year. Wow, I cannot believe it. It's been already. Wow, yeah, okay. I really appreciate you, all of you, to put up with me, you know. although he's a good looking Asian pastor, but okay. Okay, from last week, we started a new summer sermon series. Last week, it's called, a new summer sermon series called Grace for the Weary. Grace for the Weary. Last week was an introduction, so week zero, that we admitted something that many people don't like to admit. You know what that is? We are tired. Some of us are physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired. And Jesus spoke these beautiful words to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So last week we discovered that grace begins with invitation. Today, I want us to ask another question. What exactly is grace? What exactly is grace? So, would you pray with me? Gracious God, once again, open our hearts. Help us not simply hear another sermon. Help us to see Jesus. For it is in Him we discover your grace. In His name we pray. Amen. Church, have you ever noticed that sometimes we use words so often that we stop asking what they really mean? Words like grace, forgiveness, mercy, justice, love, hope. You know, we sing about them. We pray about them. We read them in scripture. We use them in church conversations. But have you ever stopped and asked yourself, do I really understand? Do I really understand what that word means? Or have I simply assumed that I know? Several years ago, I don't know whether you remember, but during an election season, there was a candidate running for Congress. As election day drew closer, reports began to surface that he had misrepresented important part of his life, his education, his work experience, and even parts of his family background. The news spread quickly. People debated on TV, online, and around dinner tables. And honestly, that was not the part that stayed with me the most. What stayed with me was how people call themselves as Christian responded to that situation. I remember hearing people saying, well, as Christians, we need to forgive him. That statement stayed with me for a long time. Not because forgiveness is wrong. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are absolutely called to forgive. But I found myself asking, is that really what forgiveness means? Does forgiveness mean that truth no longer matters? Does forgiveness mean honesty is no longer important? Does forgiveness mean accountability simply disappears? I don't believe that's the forgiveness Jesus teaches. Forgiveness never ignores the truth. Forgiveness never pretend wrong didn't happen. Forgiveness opened the door to reconciliation, but it never asks us to call darkness light. And then I began to wonder. I wonder if we've done something similar with grace. Have we allowed our own opinion, our own culture, our politics, or even our personal preference to redefine words like grace, forgiveness, mercy, and justice? Sometimes we made grace into simply being nice. Sometimes we made grace into avoiding difficult conversations. Sometimes we made grace into permission. Sometimes we made grace into whatever makes us comfortable. But church, is that the grace Jesus came to reveal? Or have we slowly allowed our culture, our politics, our fear, our preference, our politics, our opinions to redefine grace? Church, that's why we are beginning this journey together. Not to redefine grace according to our opinions, but to allow our Lord Jesus Christ to define grace for us. You know, that's exactly what happened in today's scripture. Jesus walked into the synagogue in Nazareth. This is his hometown. These are his neighbors. These are people who watched him grow up. Jesus stands up. He is handed the scroll of Isaiah. He unrolls it and he begins reading. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Do you notice here? You know, Jesus could have chosen any passages from Isaiah. He could have begun his public ministry talking about heaven, talking about prayer, worship, maybe doctrine, maybe miracles, but he did not. He chose Isaiah 61. Why? Because he wanted everyone to know this is what his ministry is going to be. His ministry is going to look like. This is what God's grace looks like. Listen carefully. Good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, the year of the Lord's favor. Notice something remarkable here. Every phrase moves toward someone who is hurting. The poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. God is always moving toward people carrying burdens. That's exactly what we talked about last week. Grace begins with an invitation. Now, we discover something else. Grace has a face. And that face is Jesus. Grace is not an abstract idea flowing somewhere in heaven. Grace walked into Nazareth. Grace sat at the table with sinners. Grace touched lepers. Grace welcomed children. Grace defended woman everyone else wanted to condemn. Grace ate with tax collectors. Grace crossed boundaries. Grace noticed people anyone else ignored. Grace has a face. His name is Jesus. Church, here's what I have learned. Many people think that grace means avoiding hard conversations. Jesus never did that. Many people think that grace means pretending everything is okay. Jesus never did that. Many people think grace means making everyone else comfortable. Jesus certainly did not do that. Look at the story today. The story ended with people trying to throw him off a cliff, because grace tells the truth. But grace tells the truth with love. Grace confronts. Grace heals. Grace restores. Grace never humiliates. Grace never abandons. Grace always seeks redemption. Think about the woman caught in adultery. Jesus did not say, "You didn't sin." He didn't say, "You are beyond hope." He said this, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's a grace. Grace, truth and grace together. And here's a hard question. I'm wondering, Jesus walked into Torrance today. What would he notice? Who would he move toward? Would he notice families worry about paying the rent? Would he notice someone sitting alone after losing a spouse? Would he notice someone recovering from surgery? Would he notice the teenager struggling with anxiety? Would he notice the immigrants wondering if tomorrow will bring uncertainty? Would he notice the elderly person who simply feels forgotten? Church, I don't wonder very long because I've read the Gospels. That's exactly who Jesus notices. That's exactly who Jesus notices. Grace always moves toward weary people. So, if grace has a face, what should our face look like? When people look at the First United Methodist Church of Torrance, do they see grace? Do weary people feel welcome here? Do struggling people feel safe here? Do lonely people find friendship here? Do broken people discover hope here? Church, our mission is not simply to believe in grace. Our mission is to embody grace, to live out grace, to become people who lives point others to Jesus Christ. People should be able to say, "I experienced the grace of God in Torrance First UMC because someone from that church noticed me." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be beautiful? You probably notice grace is costly, because grace always moves towards someone difficult, different, someone hurting, someone overlooked, someone everyone else passed by. Grace doesn't stay comfortable. Grace goes, and exactly that's what Jesus did. You know, at the end of today's story, Jesus sat down. Everyone was looking at him. The room became so quiet. And then he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, the grace you've been waiting for is standing right in front of you. Church, 2,000 years later, that is still true. When we want to know what grace looks like, we don't begin with a definition. We begin with Jesus Christ. Amen? If we want to know what grace says, look at Jesus. If you want to know where grace goes, watch Jesus. Because grace has a faith. Grace has a face, and his name is Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to discover something even more personal. Not only does grace have a face, grace knows your name. Grace knows your name. Jesus said, not even a sparrow is forgotten before God, right? If God remembers every sparrow, God certainly has not forgotten you. Church, may we spend this summer allowing Jesus to redefine grace one story at a time. One story at a time. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, thank you for showing us what grace truly looks like in Jesus Christ. God, forgive us for the times we have shaped grace according to our own desires instead of your hearts. Open our eyes to see as Jesus sees. Open our heart to love as Jesus loves. Open our hands to serve as Jesus serves. May your grace not only comfort us, but also transform us, so that through our words and our lives, others may see the face of Christ. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.